couple days ago, the Holy Ghost began to talk to me while I was driving about, and I'm not going to share this tonight, but I probably will in the near future, but about some of the spirits that we're dealing with in these last hours. And it was a lot. So I want to say this to you, and I'll make sure there's no doubt. I get accused all the time of preaching things to very specifically target people. So tonight, let there be no doubt in your mind, I'm targeting you if you're listening. I am targeting you. If you're going to make it, and you're going to be here when the Lord either raptures his church or you leave this life, you leave this earth first, you better put on your big boy pants or your big girl pants or skirt or whatever you prefer. And you better get over your little petty things, little petty offenses, little petty feelings, hurts, and all those things. And you better understand what it is you're fighting against. And I'm going to give you a divine revelation today. It's not me. It isn't me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But you could preach that every service, and still somebody will take something personal and get offended and get their feelings hurt. Now, I told you, I'm going to just, you don't even have to wonder. Yes, you, I'm talking to you. If you're wondering right now, I'm talking to you. And why am I saying this? Because I know the spirits that the Lord spoke to me, thank you, that we're going to deal with, that we are dealing with. And we don't have time for silly stuff. You don't have time to get your feelings hurt over something silly in the church. Listen to me. God will test your Christianity. God will prove if you're really who you say you are. If a little wind blows into your life and you decide, well, I won't go to church tonight, that shows you how immature you are as a Christian. Now, I'm not going to even water it down, and I'm not in my notes yet. And I'm not being cruel, I'm just being honest. Jesus, every one of the disciples, every one of the great characters of the Bible, they weathered storms far worse than hurt feelings. And they weathered storms far worse than petty things. The petty stuff that we allow ourselves to get wrapped up in. The petty stuff that keeps us home rather than being in the house of God. The petty stuff that decides whether we open up our ears or not. I'm not speaking to a situation. I wasn't even going to say this, but I just felt like before I get into my message, because they're going to go together, I need to say it. If there's going to be a lot of people, I think, that are shocked when they leave this earth and they think they're going one way and they're heading the other. Now, I haven't been this plain for a while, so just give me a few minutes. There's going to be a lot of people who are shocked when they think that they've done all they're supposed to do, but they haven't done hardly anything they were supposed to do. Every man will be judged according to his works. We know them by their fruits. We're not saved by works, but we are judged by them. What we do, how we respond, how we act, all those things. And so what I'm saying is I'm trying to help people, trying to help somebody, and understanding that you better get over yourself if you plan on going to heaven, or unless you want to just play church for the rest of your life. Playing church isn't just showing up here and there whenever you feel like it. If the stars align, or as Brother Fred tells me all the time, the creeks don't rise. And
If I didn't come to church because I was upset at somebody, I'd never be at church. If I didn't come to church because somebody said something, talked about me, or hurt my feelings, I'd never be here. I would never be here. Why? Because there's always somebody saying something. There's always somebody griping about something. And listen to me. I'm just reaching the point. I'm not going to tolerate people's stupidity anymore. Because there's just enough junk you got to fight out there. I'm not interested in it. And some of you, here's what's funny about this stuff. Some people are sitting there, and you're thinking it's because of a situation this week, and you have no clue what I've dealt with and talked to. You have no clue. So I would love for you to flatter yourself and think it's all about you, that I want to take that time just to pick up. No, it's not any specific thing. When the Lord began to speak to me about these spirits, it just kind of shook me a little bit. And I see those things operating in people. I see people, God have mercy. You know me, I like to pick on the guys, so. One day, someone's going to probably pound me outside the church. It's bound to happen. I'm just being honest with you. Guys overcome all their insecurities by working out, big and buff. I don't care how big and buff and tough you are. Are you big and buff and tough enough to come to church when your feelings are hurt? I said it. You don't need to worry or wonder. Hold on a second. Don't worry. I ain't preaching to any one person. Don't flatter yourself. But if the shoe fits, Cinderella, I want you to wear it. I'm serious. I got some people squirming right now. That's okay. I got people here squirming, people online squirming. Some people won't squirm until they listen to it later. The reason I'm saying this, you think I'm going on an attack mode, but I'm not. I'm saying we got to get over ourselves, because you're going to let yourself go to hell over stupid stuff. There are people going to let themselves be lost, and they'll never know it, because Satan is the master deceiver. He's the master deceiver. And so I just got the phone with Brother Jeff Harpo yesterday. I've worked something out with him, and this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. I've worked something out with him, and I don't know if I should put this on camera. It doesn't really matter, but he's going to come and be with us once a month, every month for a year. And I felt this in the Holy Ghost when I was down at camp while he was preaching. And I went and talked to him, and we talked again a time or two after that. And he concurred that he felt like it was a God alignment, and he said, we're going to make it work. And we're supposed to get together to get some dates and begin. It's not going to be Sundays. He can't do Sundays. So if you want to be fed, then you better get to church on Wednesday night. That's all I'm going to say. Because that's probably when it's going to be, and there may be a couple times it's an off night. If you're a church hours only saint, then you might not get some of that. But I believe that it's going to transform our church. And so the reason I said what I said is because we don't have time to play games. We're trying to move forward. We're trying to take next steps. We don't have time to let our feelings get in the way of things. We don't have time to act silly over silly things. We don't have time to whine about being picked on. Listen, I hope God picks on me. I hope that if my attitude stinks like some other people sometimes, I hope that God says your attitude stinks. And I hope he says you need to get your act together. And God did that just one time. I was driving down the road. This is years ago. And you just don't know until you know. I just had reached my limit with somebody. And, you take it however you want. It doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you. But I just reached. You can only take so much sometimes. Some people are just, their world is nothing but drama. And that's all they bring. And they're backslidden. They're not in church. I mean, that shouldn't be a surprise. But I was driving into church, and I was stewing about that person. And I was right up there on 6. I had my turn signal on, because I told you I can tell you everywhere the Lord speaks to me. And I'm just griping, and the Lord just spoke to me, and he said, just remember Moses. That was it. Well, I'm no dummy. Moses wasn't allowed to go into Canaan because of his anger. I don't need God. Well, God, what do you mean? I don't need that. I know exactly what God was saying. And I'm thankful that God got a hold of my attitude. I'm thankful that God got... Some people need to be thankful when God gets a hold of our attitudes. Unless we're all above reproach. Unless we got walking angels in our sanctuary that never get off base. Hey, and you know what else you ought to be thankful for? A pastor that will try to keep you on the path to heaven than let you walk away on the path to hell. It's the truth. I'll say it. I ain't ashamed about it. I'm not making no beefs about it. So the reason I said all that I said was because as the Holy Ghost began to talk to me about these spirits, some of the things I just addressed tonight, and I recorded it all on my recorder. I got to go write it down. But it has just reminded me what we're facing and what we're dealing with. And how can I say this and not sound really harsh? If you don't have enough common sense to know that I'm on your side, then you need to go find a prayer room. Or actually be here next Friday night at 9 p.m. And stick around until 3 a.m. If you don't have enough common sense to think that I'm not against you, I'm with you, I am for you. I know you think something happened. Listen, folks, something always happens. Just because I decide sometimes to dig in, it doesn't mean something happened. There's always something. There's never a time there's not something. But the Lord spoke to me about these spirits, and I will share them with you in the future, in the very near future. And you need to, as the scripture says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I got news for you, tough guys. You got a lot more flesh to be weak. I'm not winning any friends from the men tonight. None. Is it okay to be that way? It's too late. Matthew said, what'd you say? How'd you say it? He stepped out. How'd he say it? Take my liberty. So, honey, he told me to. And the man that introduces the preacher has a right to tell the preacher how to preach. I've seen too many people. I'm so far off base, it's ridiculous. I've seen too many people with so much potential just lost because they won't ever get over themselves. Don't we tell our kids to get over themselves? So it's good for our kids, it's not good for us. Isn't that special? We got to get over ourselves too. And I'll admit, I'm not always the easiest person. I think I'm pretty easy, to be honest with you. But I'm not always the easiest. Oh, God. I got to get on my notes. Years ago, the first time Doug White was here, our church was at a completely different place. And I had known of him and of his ministry, and I knew that he was a... And man, when he got up and he preached, and I sweated probably the entire time he preached. I was sweating. I'm like, God, everybody's leaving. No one's coming back. Sometimes you just got to be that direct, and it's okay to sweat a little bit. It's okay to have a lump in your throat. It's okay to need to be corrected and put back on course. Because I've told you for months now that we have faced distraction as God has tried to transition us. All this distraction has come in, and people are distracted by silly things. And life is not silly, but life's changes and career changes and all these different things and transitions. And then on top of that, our feelings get hurt over this, and our feelings get hurt over that, and we get upset over this, and we get upset. And those things are all distractions. It's all distraction from what God wants to do. And so sometimes, so the Bible says... Now, I'll help you understand how I'm going to fit this together. David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on sleep. When I read that, I understood, and I'd never caught that verse, I understood that we are called to be generational witnesses. I understood that the timing, listen to me, is literally divine. Now, I'll pull all this together. Are you still with me? Anybody upset? So if I am called to serve my generation, that means my window is small. And my purpose is specific. Now hear me if you will. That means every person I come across that I either speak to of the Lord or I fail to speak to, that means I may have missed God's divine purpose for my life. Do you know why we can't get caught up in distraction? Do you know why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead? Because the window is small. The opportunity is not always there. The Bible says, call upon the Lord while he is near. Blind Bartimaeus and the other blind men, the woman with the issue of blood, the Syrophoenician woman, every one of them, the window was small to get a hold of Jesus. It's not that he's not always there, but there are things that are divinely timed and placed. And the scripture says after David died, when he finished serving his generation, his time was up. And whatever impact David made to that point was made. There was no going back and fixing it. And so when we think about serving our generation, or let's just say soul winning, God forbid we be focused on bigger things than idiosecials and little petty stuff. That means that my window is small. But not only is my window small, but that means my purpose is going to be squandered, or my purpose is going to be fulfilled. And my purpose is to serve my generation. When I read that, Sister Olson, something just kind of hit me. And it dawned on me, we would all love to live forever. So God says, I know, you're dumb, I'm not, you're not going to live forever. And I'm going to prove to you, the way I'm going to let you know that you're not going to live forever, as you get older, your body's going to start to give away. And in some cases, God says, I'm not putting words in your mouth, Lord, I'm just kind of thinking here. I believe, in some cases, God says, I'll make it so bad you'll pray to go. My wife's grandmother, she would sit in that chair. She got to the point she couldn't get up. She was 93 when she passed away. And every year we went over there for Christmas, every year she'd say, this might be my last year. And then she would say, I pray for God to take me. I pray for God to take me. Not only that, but as you get older, and I guess, Brother Fred, I guess I'm at that unique age where I see my generation passing and I see what my future is. And so our generation, we used to, you walked around the mall, it's all you did. Malls were always booming, they were always bustling, it was great. You want to go hang out, go walk around the mall, go to the food court. It didn't cost $100,000 then. That was our thing, but now they're all closed. They're all ghost towns, or you got Joe's Jumba, or Sally's Specials, or things like that you see in the malls now. And so they're not as much fun as they used to be. And so as you see your generation pass, you almost, you feel left out. And to those of you that are older than me, I'm sure you feel more so than I do. You get to the point you feel like you can't relate to your generation. I'm getting there. You can't understand where in the world. I remember when my pastor told me years ago, he said, I can't relate to this generation anymore. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know what the problem is. I got it. But I'm there now, and I feel like I can't relate to people. I can't relate. I can't relate to all this silly stuff people are just wasting their lives away on, getting on TikTok and spending hours painting up their face to do stupid facial expressions to get laughs and likes. I can't relate. I can't relate to taking 100,000 photos of yourself in 100,000 different poses. I can't relate to people being so insecure, they got to keep taking pictures and hopefully one day they'll find the right one. I can't relate. I can't. So as my generation begins to fade, I realize my time is nearing. Why? Because I'll reach a point where I can't relate to the next generation. And that's exactly the way God set it up. Why? So when I leave, there's got to be another generation that rises up. They can better understand. And the ministry of God can continue. It can continue. Because the ministry has to always continue. But listen to me. If we're squandering every moment on social media, and you're squandering on getting your feelings hurt, or you're squandering on your life and nothing else matters other than what's going on in your life right now, you're squandering your generation. You're squandering your ability to reach and impact your generation. I'm not suggesting you can't have fun. I'm not suggesting we can't relax. We've got to do all that. But we're not there. We're squandering it. And David died in the last part of that scripture. It says he fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. That means he saw death. That was reminding us of David's humanity, that David was not immortal. No matter how great David was, it doesn't matter if David had a heart after God or not. Now David's gone, somebody else is going to have to take on that heartbeat. Now David's gone, somebody else is going to have to be the leader that David was. Somebody else is going to have to do the things that David did and slay the giants that David slayed. And every generation has got to rise to their calling. Every generation. And so I'm not responsible for the previous generation. And I'm not responsible for the next generation. But I am responsible for my generation. That's why the Bible says every man will be judged according to their works. Because I am responsible for the people that I can relate to. And you're responsible for the people that you can relate to. And that's why I started off the way I did, for those of us that are still willing to listen and pay attention, they can get their feelings too hurt and they shut it off. Because we don't have time for silly stuff. We don't have time for silly games. Why? Because as we know, life goes by. It's but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow, according to the scripture. Here we are already, almost August of 2025. The older you get, the faster. Everybody always said it goes faster as you get older. Really, it does. It just zooms on by. The thing you wait for all year long, and that day comes and gone, and you're moving on. For those of you getting married this year, those of you having babies, good luck. Because once that big day passes, here's my encouragement of the day. Once that big day passes, now reality is going to set in. And then, as time goes on, you're going to look back and you're going to say, oh my God, how big you're getting. So where'd time go? Everybody says it. Why? Because time moves that fast. And time doesn't wait on anybody. Time doesn't wait for us to get our act together. Time doesn't wait for us to figure it out. Time doesn't wait for us to get over our hurt feelings. Time just continues to move on. And so as a church, we have got to get focused now on our generation. This is my fault. I'm taking the blame. But we are not doing all that we're supposed to do to evangelize and to reach the lost. We're getting tied up and caught up in everything else, and we're not doing everything that we need to be doing. We're not. And we're responsible for our generation. You're responsible. Listen to me. There's no escaping it. When we stand before God, and in Revelation 20 it says, and he opened the books, and he opened the book of life, and he judged every man according to their works that are written in the books. There's no, we will all stand before God. Not that God is a tyrant, but God is saying, for every time and purpose, or every time and season, there's a purpose. And so there's a purpose to my existence. You can't say much without somebody getting their feelings hurt, so that's why you give up and you just say it. My purpose is not to have children. My purpose is not to get married. Well, that might be my purpose. My purpose is not to buy a new car. My purpose is not to get a good paying job. My purpose isn't even to build a bigger church. My purpose
is to reach the lost. And everything else I do along the way is just added bonus. Jesus' purpose was not, it was not to perform the miracles that he performed. That is not why he was here. There's no scripture. He did that while he was here as an act of compassion and mercy on those that had needs. Our purpose is not to sit around and wait for God to give us our miracle. No, my purpose is to reach the lost. My purpose, God, I could sure use some help here in this aspect of my life. And when I leave here, I'm going to go hand out some door hangers. And when I leave here, I'm going to go find a stranger to witness to. And I'm going to continue to do my purpose. And guess what? You want to know the key to having a miracle? It's do God's will in your life and fulfill your purpose. And so what is our purpose? My purpose is not even to preach. This is the smallest part of my life. My purpose is to reach the lost. My purpose is to teach Bible studies. My purpose is to do and all the other stuff that we get wrapped up in, that I get wrapped up in. Sometimes it's a part of life, but it's not our purpose. We've got to stay focused on our purpose. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, his purpose. We cannot forget our purpose. We cannot become so disillusioned, so frustrated, so sad, so depressed, so whiny, diny, cryy, bye, whatever you want to call it, so pouty, wouty. We can't get so wrapped up in our projects and our houses that we forget our purpose. Our purpose is to reach the lost. Afterwards, I am going to ask someone to buy me some food at the Mexican restaurant. So whoever really likes this, you might want to come with me and offer to pay. I'm just kidding. You don't have to pay. After this, me and my wife be sitting there by herself. I'm like, nobody. Hey, you want to go? Nah, I'm not going to go eat tonight. They ain't going to want to talk to me, Sister Tracy. No one's going to want to eat with me when I get done. Some ever again. So, our ministry is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Our ministry is to take upon ourselves our responsibility, just as so many others have done. Let me just show you something in a different light. I'm not going to be a ton longer. Abraham, we preach and we read of his very specific purpose. We know what it was. It was to go in search of Canaan. That was his purpose. That's why God told him to leave his home and to leave his family behind, because nothing should stand in the way of your purpose. Now, let me be very careful. God's not telling people to divorce your spouse and go do that. That's stupid. There's no other way to say that. That's not what we're talking about. Purpose. That's how important purpose is. Moses was asked to sacrifice his throne. Because as Pharaoh's grandson, we see no scripture that Pharaoh had another son. Well, actually, he did. But he died. Moses would have been, he was a prince of Egypt, and would have been in line for the throne at some point. And if not, he still had the prestige and the power of being a son of Pharaoh. He was asked to abandon his ambitions in pursuit of his purpose. What's my purpose? I need to send a deliverer. I need somebody that will go to Israel and that will go to Pharaoh and will set my people free. Do you know every time we talk to somebody, if we do, not being cruel, I'm just saying, every time we talk to somebody about the gospel, do you know that we are being a Moses in their life and we're trying to set them free from their captivity? Do you know if you looked at it differently in that manner, you might feel a little more passionately about it. That was Moses' purpose. Samson, he was anointed from the very beginning with strength, not so he can walk around and enter the tough man contest, not so he can see if he can bench press more than everybody else, not so he can walk around and everybody say, oh man, look at him, he's buff. No. It was so he could go after those that afflicted the people of God. Imagine if the biggest, buffest guys in our church, imagine if they took on the role of Samson.
You know what they would do? They'd get on their knees at 9 p.m. next week, and they would get a hold of God, and they would shake heaven, and they would shake the gates of hell for God's people and for his church. Because that is our purpose. That was Samson's only purpose. God never said a word to Samson about having a wife and children and all that. And I'm not poo-pooing those things. I love my family, and I wouldn't want to exist without them. That's my bonus along the way. But I still can never forget my purpose. Newsflash, the scripture says there is no marrying and giving in marriage in heaven. So if you're waiting till death do us part, congratulations, it's coming. I thought I'd get a little more excitement out of that. My wife was like, I'm just kidding. There you go, for those of you that are mad at me. Samuel, a prophet in his generation, a prophet amongst prophets. David, a leader amongst leaders, called to be king over all of Israel. Didn't want it, wasn't looking for it. Called to be a giant slayer, didn't want it, wasn't looking for it, wasn't trying to get in the Guinness Book of World Records, wasn't posting all over Facebook, yeah, what you all got, look what I did. No, David just stepped out because he knew he had a purpose and there was a cause. And the cause consumed him. We need God to stir our spirits to the degree that the cause consumes us. And it no longer is just to do whatever, whenever you can, but it's something that we obsess about day in and day out. And that is fulfilling our purpose. There's no amount of gossipers out there in La La Land, and there's no amount of haters, and there's no amount of anything that can stop the church from growing and fulfilling her purpose except us. Esther, queen to the king, her purpose, which she found out real quick, was to risk her life to save the people of God. Imagine that God would actually expect people sometimes to risk their life to save the people of God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're the very breath that you breathe. Maybe your life as far as your lifestyle and your way of life. It's got to get in somebody's spirit tonight. It's got to get in somebody's spirit that I've got to get over myself, and I've got to fulfill my purpose. I've got to serve my generation before I no longer have an opportunity to serve my generation. Job, what a purpose he had. Jeremiah, you know, favorite. Love Jeremiah. What a purpose he had. Go and preach to them the words that I put in your mouth. You don't have to go online and Google stuff to preach. You don't have to go into sermons.com. You don't have to go ahead and call some of your buddies to get some notes before you preach. He said, I'll put the words in your mouth. Now, God, I wish I had just a little bit of help tonight. Sometimes when God puts the words in your mouth, people don't like it. But do you know why? Are you okay? Are you asleep? I'm almost done. Do you know why? As a preacher, you got to say the things that God puts in your mouth because it's your purpose. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but most of the preachers weren't liked in the Bible, including Jesus himself. I told someone recently, I said, don't be surprised because you know some people don't like me. They hated Jesus. Had a chance to set him free, and the crowds cried, crucify him. Wasn't nothing wrong with him. He was doing his purpose. That was his purpose. He did not allow cross or whip or anything of that nature to deter him from his purpose. Just as we should not allow our cross to deter us from our purpose. Whatever it cost us, it's my divine purpose. From the time I was in my mother's womb, and there is a generation that is waiting on me. And guess what? If I don't do it, the next generation is not going to be able to relate to them. They're not going to be able to do it. We see that already. You know what this young generation coming up do? They call our elders a old man, a old woman. They can't relate. They have no respect for our veterans that served and gave their life for the service of this country. They laugh and scoff and mock in social media. My brother always sends me this junk. I can't stand when he sends me this junk that mocks people. I don't like it. I don't like it. Jonah, he had a purpose. Can you play for me so I can, my purpose will be done here soon. Jonah had a purpose. I've made the statement before, but if you ever feel like I feel like some of you are mad at me. I mean, it's nothing new, so I get used to it. But if you ever feel like your world is crashing in, it could be that you're outside of your purpose. And you're on your boat going your own direction, and God says, I don't like that. I think I'll raise up a Euroclodon in your life. Why? Not to hurt us, but to let us know you're outside of your purpose and you're getting farther away, and I've got a Nineveh that you have to preach to. I don't want to be a preacher, God, and ask you what you wanted to do. I don't want to be a teacher, God, I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. I don't want to do this, God. I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. I called you and I put purpose in you from the day you were born. It's up to us whether we're going to follow our purpose or not. Insecurities, that's not an affirmative defense. You look at one of the most insecure people in the world right here. I know you don't believe it. I've wrestled with every insecurity you could imagine. Now I have so many calluses in my spirit from overworking those insecurities my whole life that I just don't care anymore. So if the Lord says speak, I say, okay, what you would like me to say? Okay, you want me to say Mark doesn't look, he needs a shave and he needs a, you know, okay, I'll say Mark, you shave. I'm just kidding. I won't do it, Brandon. I'm going to go easy on you tonight. Jonah had a purpose. Daniel had a purpose. Ezra had a purpose. Ezra had to go back in, and I think I shared this here or somewhere else. All I do is talk in Bible studies and all this. I don't know who I said what to, so maybe you need to hear it again if you did. But before Nehemiah could go in and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, Ezra went in. Anybody remember why Ezra went in? He had one purpose. He had to find the law that was buried away in a closet when the Romans invaded Jerusalem and burnt the walls down. And for the 70 years they were in Babylon, nobody brought the law out and read it. And the law was supposed to be read every 7 years. So in those 70 years in Babylon, 10 cycles went by, and the law was, or the word, was never read. So you had at least probably 3 generations that were born without the law. And before Nehemiah could go and rebuild the walls, before he could rebuild their lives, Ezra knew you got to have the word first. There's no point in going to church if you don't have the word in your life. You got to have the word. And so Ezra went, and the Bible says he purposed to find the law, and he did. And he called all of Israel together. You know what he did? Watch this. Am I okay in time? Here's what Ezra did. He said, listen, I know y'all got schedules, and I know you go to work the same time every day, and I know some of you are getting ready to go on vacation, and I know that some of you're going to be building a new deck in your house, and you plan to do it this week. You waited all year to do it. He said, but listen, I have dug the word out, and we got to all get together, and we're going to have church tonight, so I need everybody there. And he brought the word, and everybody in Israel, the Bible says they sat down and they listened intently. Because you know why? There's a difference between a brand new babe in the Lord and somebody who's been in church their whole life. Brand new babies, they normally listen. They love the word. Sometimes seasoned saints, we wonder. Oh, I've heard that sermon many times before. Yeah, I already know all that. So Ezra, Nehemiah, then Nehemiah followed with his purpose. He could have stayed as a cupbearer to the king, but Nehemiah said, no, sir, I've got to go and I've got to rebuild these walls. Do you know why, Nehemiah? I preached this several times at several other places. I'm going to say it to you tonight. The Bible says when he inquired, hold on a second, I'm going to open it up for you. Put me up Nehemiah chapter 1, if you would, please. It says, Hananiah in verse 2, one of my brethren came, and a certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. So Nehemiah inquired. He wasn't waiting for people to show up to church. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there are in the province, are in great affliction and approach. And reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. At least 90 years had passed. And so he's inquiring. He didn't wait for. He inquired of his own accord. And what's the Bible say he did? When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Read that. Read the rest of it. Read his prayer. Nehemiah's purpose was just becoming obvious to him. And he went to the king, put his life at risk, and said, give me letters, please. He said, let me go in and give me letters for all the governors so I can get all the materials that I need. Why? Because the people are in great distress. If you're not moved by the law, something is wrong with your spirit. If we are not moved, and I take responsibility because I probably don't preach in this respect enough, Nehemiah's purpose came clear. He gave up his prestigious position as cupbearer to the king. He made the long and lengthy journey to Jerusalem from Persia. Not modern day, and with no planes to fly. It wasn't just go buy a plane ticket and get there. While they serve you a nice meal on the plane. Maybe if you're lucky, you'll get business class, you can lay down. No, no, it was a long, arduous journey. He gets there. And what's he do? He begins to scout out the place. Begins to get people together. Then, imagine this. I'm almost done. Then, when he gets there, he finds out that the people of the land, they're not happy that Israel is going to be rebuilding these walls. And so they start all these plots and all this strategizing. And they come against Nehemiah. And what does Nehemiah do? He just prays. And as he prays, God reveals to him the plot. And they repel the plot. See, watch this. Do I have anybody still with me for a couple minutes? It's frustrating when you're trying to do your purpose, trying to preach, trying to grow a church, maybe going to a building program, and I say maybe because every other day I don't want nothing to do with it, especially when people start acting silly and stupid and goofy and all that stuff, just being honest with you. And then in the middle of all that, you still got to fight off all the devils in hell. You still got to fight off attacks from without and sometimes attacks from within. Got to love the attacks from within. You got to love the people who don't know who their friends are and who their enemies are. And you got to fight all that junk off. And you're like, God, I didn't sign up for all this. When I said yes to the call of being a pastor, I thought I'd just get up and I'd preach. Most people would love you. When I first started, pastors always try and give you advice, and I do the same thing now, too. And you try to tell them what's coming in a nice way, and you try to tell them, what pitfalls to watch. And they said all that to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. And I pastor once, he's like, yeah. He goes, just wait till the first people who you've poured your heart and soul in, married their children, baptize them, all this stuff, and they just leave you and tear your guts out, and then all they do is badmouth you. And I'm thinking, well, just because that happened to you don't mean it's going to happen to me, just wait. They do. But I didn't sign up for all that, Richard. I thought I was going to be a pastor preaching, everybody love you. You see, Nehemiah learned that if you're going to fulfill your purpose, unfortunately, it's not just doing your purpose, because now you got to fight all of hell sometimes too. But Nehemiah knew how to fight, and he fought with prayer. God was on his side. Sometimes your purpose can be difficult. Sometimes your purpose can be demanding, but it's still our purpose. How about all the prophets? And then you get to the New Testament and God changes the whole system. It's no longer Nehemiah's and Esther's and Moses's and Noah's and all that stuff. Now God says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He changes the system. He fine-tunes it. Now he puts a ministry arm in place in order, what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Maybe you don't preach. Maybe you're not a prophet. Maybe you're not an apostle. Maybe you're not a pastor, but you are a teacher. And you sure can be one, and that's still a part of the fivefold ministry. And so, we must understand and fulfill, and we must become diligent about our purpose. Last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to let you go, because somebody's buying me Mexican, and I just feel it in the Holy Ghost. But I'm not letting you serve it, because I know someone might spit in it. Now, somebody that didn't come to church tonight meets me in the Mexican restaurant, I'm leaving. I'm out. Oh, Pastor, I was watching online. I thought I'd come and get you that message. No, thank you. Not feeling real good. Going home, going to bed. So this is what I shared in Connie out a week ago, week and a half ago. John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I've already shared some snippets of this with you, but a little less than a year ago, God began to talk to me about John the Baptist and why John was the way he was and why he wore camel skins and goat and camel's hairs and goat skins or whatever the heck he wore. And he ate wild locusts and honey, or honey and wild locusts, or wild honey and locusts, or something like that. He ate some honey and locusts. That was his diet. And the Lord began to deal with me about why John lived that lifestyle. Because political pressure will crush anybody. And political pressure will change preachers. Political pressure will change doctrine. Now, I know some of y'all aren't going to like this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. T.D. Jakes was as oneness could be most of his life until his supporters started sending letters to him and demanding, "We want to know, are you preaching Trinity or are you preaching oneness?" And finally, T.D. Jakes buckled to the pressure and he renounced the oneness doctrine and he began to preach Trinity. That's how that changed. Pressure, your supporters, people writing your checks. I said it. Not afraid to say it. It's a fact. Preachers can get, you know, I remember Jeff Arnold. I remember him saying that he was in the middle of a building program. They had junk go through his church. Really, all kind of people start acting silly in building programs. How about that one? And a guy walked in. He was rich. Guy was a millionaire. Brother Arnold, like probably 65 years old, is on a ladder painting. Guy walks through. He says, "You know, I could pay this whole project off." He goes, "But you need to learn a lesson." Walked away. Boy, I tell you what, if that was me, I'd have said, "Bye, Felicia." Why? Because people try to buy what they want with their money. Listen, I've learned if one person stops giving, God will send another one. Because he's in charge, not me and not you. God's in charge. But here's why I said that. This is why John the Baptist lived in the wild. This is what God began to talk to me about. To preach what he had to preach, to pave the way. Watch, he's preaching. Folks, the world's changing. Jesus is about ready to step on the scene. There's no more bullocks and no more goats, no more bloods of lambs and none of that. You can tear your altars down. You can even disassemble the tabernacle and pack it up if you want to. He said, "But now his blood will be sufficient." They hated it. Hated it. And so God needed a preacher that was not controlled by people or by their pocketbooks. That's why John the Baptist ate and lived the way that he did. That was his purpose. That's a pretty important purpose. So I got a question for you. All of us, our purpose is to reach the lost. Our purpose is to witness to them, to talk to them about the Lord, and not just invite them to church, but to be an ambassador bound by Christ to them. Are we going to leave this place tonight, and are we going to say, God, I need to be renewed in my purpose. I need to get crazy about winning the lost, because this is my generation. My time is passing. I cannot mess around any longer. Can you imagine that we live in a day where we won't talk to people about the gospel because we're afraid of them getting mad at us? What if they get mad at me? Well, that's a fine reason. Let them go to hell. But they won't be mad at you. You won't have to worry about them being mad at you. No. The next time you even think that, I want you to remember, this is my purpose. Now watch. The more you water the seed that's been planted, the more it cannot die. And you'd be amazed what God does in people's lives if you keep pouring on the water. The things the devil tells us not to do, don't talk religion. Don't talk religion. The things he tells us not to do are the very things that will keep people alive until the gospel begins to sprout in their life. My purpose is to reach the lost. My purpose is to be a John the Baptist. It's to be a voice. And if I don't speak, God has no voice. His voice operates through us. He might speak to you and I because we've grown to the point where we know his voice, but the world out there don't know his voice. They need your voice. What are we doing with it? What are we doing? Would you stand with me so I can stop? Now, you'll be happy to know that I'll go home tonight. I'll eat my Mexican food that somebody's going to buy for me. And while I'm eating it, I'll be worried about who I offended, whose feelings are hurt. And I'll wonder about, well, what I say? What's this pearl? Oh, God, what's this? Oh, now who's not going to show? I'll think about all that stuff, and then I'll have to get over it. That's just the way it is. We have to serve our generation. Time is short. Our time is passing us by. We're all getting older. People that we love, people even in this church, in our time, in our season, it's reaching a place where that mantle is going to have to start being shifted and passed. We've got to do our due diligence to fulfill our purpose and to win people for the Lord. We've got to be the voice. You say, but they don't worry about, don't worry about what people say. Just continue to be a voice. Just be a voice. Be a voice. You won't win everybody. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to be a voice. Our purpose, Jonah's purpose was to preach to Nineveh, not to worry about who converted and who didn't. Just preach. You preach. We'll leave the repentance up to them. God don't hold us responsible for their repentance, but he does for our purpose. I would like to invite you, because I don't know how to close. I'd like to invite you to the front if you would come and join just for a few moments. When I die, the only thing that's going to matter is that I fulfill my purpose. That's all that's going to matter. Listen to me. I want to talk to somebody just for a second. Turn that down just for a second. Whatever you're experiencing in your life, whatever chaos, whatever drama, whatever heartache or heartbreak, it is not the will of God for that to deter you from your purpose. His will is for us to continue on. You say, well, how can you say that? Did you read of all the storms the disciples had to go through many times? That didn't stop them. Your purpose. And when we fulfill our purpose, you want to know the fastest key to miracles? Fulfill your purpose. And don't let anything persuade you from it, and watch and see what God does.
Because God is the one that does miracles, not us. Our purpose. Okay, you can start playing a little bit now. Is Matthew in here? He's not. He's over there teaching. I want us to pray. And help me if you would. Pray for your purpose. Pray for our purpose. Pray for the purpose of this church. Pray that God will help us pass the distractions to see very clearly what our purpose is and to make sure we do everything we can to fulfill that purpose. Don't let people rob you of your purpose. Don't let love rob you of your purpose. Don't let new changes in your life rob you of your purpose. Nothing should rob us of our purpose. I'm in the book. Not funerals, not weddings. That's all biblical. Nothing should rob us of our purpose. Not work, nothing, nothing. God must be glorified. He must be glorified by what I do in my life, by how I am intent on fulfilling my purpose. Whatever it takes, whatever the cost, God, you have called me and you have put purpose in my life. And if you don't know your purpose, I'm here to tell you today is to be a voice for the gospel and start witnessing to everybody you can. And you're going to have to get yourself in the habit of it. Make it a point. Earlier this year, I said one person every week. Determine I'm going to touch one person every week. We got a whole bunch of cards being made up. Sometime before Jesus comes, they're going to arrive. And when they do, you can take as many as you want, and I'll order thousands more. And if you want to just hand them out, leave them with the waitress, talk to somebody, just say, here, I'm not inviting you to my church, but I do want you to come and experience what God has for you. Let purpose be behind it. God will do amazing things. Lord, go ahead and sing. Lord, I pray, God, that you are pleased tonight, and I pray that you would do, God, what you have purposed to do in this place tonight. Let your word, God, let it continue in our hearts and our minds. God, don't let it fade. Don't let us forget. Don't let us become sidetracked from our purpose. We've got to be a voice. We've got to be a voice. We've got to be a voice. We cannot allow petty things, and we cannot allow those things to interfere with our purpose. You've called us here for a reason. It's not to just save me, but so I can now be a voice for others. God, time is short. We need to fulfill our purpose. I feel it in my spirit. You're preparing to catch up your church. We've got to get people ready. We've got to get them saved. We've got to get them to the altar. We've got to get them healed and delivered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Before we leave, would you please just find somebody to join with, including our platform, and just pray that God will let our purpose burn within us and that we will not be confused or persuaded or distracted or anything of that nature. Our purpose as a church, our purpose as individuals, our purpose has got to be fulfilled. We've got to be about our Father's business. We've got to be kingdom-minded. No matter what's happening in our life, they're still lost. People are still lost. Jesus, 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 help us, oh God. Lord, I pray that this purpose would burn, God, in us. I pray that it would burn in us, oh God. I pray that we will not be able to sleep some nights. God, move us out of our sleep, I pray. With this on our mind, my purpose, my purpose, my purpose. It's got to be fulfilled. I've got to do the will of God. I've got to reach the lost. I've got to be a voice. Hallelujah.